fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
I'm back.
Yay!
I hit a wrong thing.
You hit a wrong thing.
Yeah. I'd rather not talk about it.
Okay, Personal. All right. Okay. Let's get this intro done.
Let's do this. This is Part-Time Fanboy. Yes, finally, I am here with Paul, Ian, Corey, and myself. Finally. On Google Hangout. Is this thing recording? Oh my god.
And fuck the police, man!
What the hell was that?
All right.
Okay, what do we all think about this? This is ridiculous. I don't even know that I can do this anymore.
Motherfucking government on my shit.
For anybody who's listening, we have had the hardest time connecting via the internet, and I don't even know that my thing is recording this right now. Like, if it's recording my voice. It's recording all you guys. Anyway...
Let's pretend it's recording.
Let's just have a conversation. It's been way too long since we all got together.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Corey, you're still there?
I am still here.
He's the clearest one.
Loud
what the
and
hell?
Clear. Loud and
wow. Oh my God.
Google and I have an arrangement.
Well, this is Part-Time Fanboy. I'm Christian. I'm here with Paul, Ian, and Corey. And
we are here.
Let's just start by talking about the Superman trailer, the Man of Steel trailer. Now that we're all here, we started talking about it, and Skype sucks, so we hung up on Skype.
Would anyone here describe themselves as cautiously optimistic?
That was Corey. Corey said he was cautious.
I'm a Corey on that. I'm a Corey on that for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you think, Corey?
I'm glad I'm not alone. Yeah, it's funny you should pick those two words because that's exactly what I would describe myself in a previous take. Yes, I think that's pretty accurate. I think, you know, I just don't have a whole lot of interest in a bearded Superman, angst-ridden and dark.
Uh-huh.
I think what they're trying to do is transplant the success of Batman, The Dark Knight, and all that to Superman, and I don't think that's done by taking the same tone and the same sort of grittiness that can work so well in Batman movies and put it on Superman. So I guess that's my concern, is that it might be taking itself a little too seriously, and it might be a little too angst-ridden and mopey.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of my issue with it, which is, when I first saw the trailer, I loved it. Like, I was like, oh, wow, this looks like really cool. But then I watched it maybe like two or three times, and I just, the sense of emo Superman started to like fill in the back of my skull, and I was reminded of Superman Returns, and I really just long for the days of the Kurt Swan Superman at this point, where he wasn't just, not that John Byrne Superman wasn't, I mean, he was never mopey John Byrne Superman, but it just seems like that for years and years, so many Smallville and other comics, the comic books have just so focused on, like, I'm so alone, I'm Superman, and I'm like, dude, you can fly and bend steel in your bare hands and do crazy stuff. Like, that's not depressing to me. Like, Superman's the optimist, you know, he's not Batman, and it just doesn't look like it's going to be very fun to me. Like,
I suppose my hope for this is that they're going to be moving it toward something that's more optimistic. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that they're starting off with the world sort of in a depressing place, and you've got get that you're getting a Superman to sort of lift us up out of that, you know. Oh. That's my hope for it. That's my hope for it anyway, because I mean visually, I mean it looks pretty cool, but I'm just not a fan of like the sort of desaturated look where there's nothing bright, you know. There's nothing sort of bright to look at, and when I think of Superman in that costume, you know, I always, you know, he's so bright. It's like he should be in a way like brighter than anyone else on screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so the costume still, you know, is bugging me, and the fact is that, and
I want the red underpants.
I don't know quite how to say this, but yeah, the red underwear thing, you know, like by taking away the red underwear, it makes you even more aware of the you know, Superman crotch region or something.
And so Ian,
I'm just worried about that.
It was interesting because, you know, I think a day before or a couple days before the trailer went live, someone in the office sent around that still image of Superman in the handcuffs with the army. You guys know that image?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And someone posed the question, like, hey, why, you know, why is he in handcuffs? This is ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. And this was a string that kind of went on for way too long than it should have, but I kept explaining that, listen, the only reason Superman is in handcuffs and doing this is because, you know, he's probably showing appreciation for the democratic process and that he, you know, he respects human beings. So, you know, they're probably arresting him and taking him to the president. Uh-huh. Complete guesswork on my end. But, you know, then the string kept going and going. And then finally the trailer came out. So everyone forgot about that argument we were having as to why it's awful that Superman's in handcuffs. But, I mean, look, production-wise, it's like Avengers came out. Someone probably said to DC, listen, you guys better pick it up a bit here, because doing a Batman movie once every few years is enough's enough with that. So if they're going to get into something like Justice League, they need Superman back, right? So
yeah.
So, and then you got who? Not Zac Efron.
Snyder.
Snyder.
Thank you. Yeah, Zac Efron is directing. Zack Snyder and Nolan are in there. And you know, look at the Watchmen, right? Look at, you know, what they did on that, and it typically has that. They like that kind of desaturated and kind of gloomy. I'm not a Superman fan. See, that's the thing. So they could do whatever they want with this. I mean, honestly, I was surprised not to see a young black actor in there to kind of redo the Richard Pryor arc.
Oh, come on.
I'm not a Superman fan. Well, I don't know if I'll probably see the movie. You know, Heidi might drag me, or one of you guys might drag me. But I mean, it's gonna be good. It's gonna be good on some level, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, doesn't it look good?
Well, I don't know.
Like I said, I think it's a good-looking trailer. You know, good-looking trailers don't always make good movies.
Yeah.
But you know, as far as the handcuff thing, I just assumed that it was a private arrangement he had with Lois. I wasn't going to ask him anything about that, but
I just
he hired some people to dress up as cops.
I just
he's
think
a chinky one.
I am a Superman fan, and what DC has been doing the past year or so has made me less of a Superman comic book fan and less of a DC comic fan, to tell you the honest truth. And I think that it's very telling that the very first image that comes out is him in handcuffs. Like, it just seems so dour. And I hope that Paul is right, that maybe it does start off kind of like sad and, you know, depressing, and maybe it builds up to him being, you know, whatever, the savior of the human race or whatever, you know, the icon of humanity or whatever it is that people see Superman as. But I just think, like, it's just, the more I looked at it, the more I'm like, Superman, it just looks so dark, and it just looks kind of, he looks so emo, and just, it's not Superman to me. You know, Superman Returns wasn't Superman to me. Like, Superman shows up, and he's not like Batman, he's not even like Iron, he's not trying to hide. He shows up, and he's like, hey, I'm Superman, I've got a red cape and red boots, and here I am, I'm here to help people, you know? And
yeah, and you know, one of the things I always remembered about Superman is, you know, no matter how
bad things. God, he was always still very friendly, you know?
Yeah.
He wasn't this sort of scowly, you know, or at least he wasn't until, you know, they had the Death of Superman arc, you know? And, you know, he it seems like he could... You know, he could crack a smile once in a while, and at least once in these trailers, you know, he could find something to smile about.
Yeah, especially with the way things are today, you know, it's like, it seems like the Marvel movies have been so much fun and, you know, lively, you know, with senses of humor, and especially after that last Batman movie, which I know I'm the only one who was just like, ugh, you know, but I just want Superman to be... different than Batman, you know what I mean?
Well, I understand. Right. They got Christopher Nolan there, so your chances of that are decreased.
Yeah, I know. That's what depresses me, but...
Well, I didn't mind too much that poster, because I think it sort of did what it was supposed to do, which was get everybody all excited and like, well, what's going on? How could he be in handcuffs? And
yeah.
So I think that was the point of it. And I think... You know, I mean, there has to be some kind of character arc in the movie. He can't just arrive and be awesome and then be awesome for 2 hours.
Sure.
So, you know, I don't mind that, you know, if there's a moment where he agrees to be taken into handcuffs and get interrogated or whatever. But I think it does, the character just, you know, you just, you have to hand, you know, it's different, it's a different world, it's a different, there's a reason why Metropolis and Gotham are different sides of the same coin, visually even.
Yeah.
So, another thing I noticed too was that listening to the trailer, if you listen to the actor playing Superman, I don't know his name.
Henry Cavill.
He kind of sounds like Christopher Reeve.
Really?
Like the way he's talking is reminiscent of his speech pattern.
Really? I'm going to have to listen again. I didn't pick up on
like, if you just, you know, don't even watch it, just listen to it. You know, so I'm hoping we're not going to see another Christopher Reeve impression for 2 hours.
Because, oh, I hope not.
You know, we've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to see
that. Yeah, we saw that. We know it doesn't work, so let's try something new.
Yeah, which is what they say they're going to do. You know, it's well, obviously, they're going their own way with it because the costume is slightly different and, you know, everything's kind of different. I just was hoping to see a bit I was just going to say
the logo, the S there.
Yeah.
Just the design, you know, I haven't fully worked out this thought process, so I'll sort of work it out as I go. But the design of the S and how it's like so busy and there's so many lines and textures. It kind of reminds me of the
basketball.
yes, that is definitely. But when you just look at superhero comics in general, the kind of rule of thumb is the busier the better. You know, like if there's more lines and there's just more texture and it took somebody 4 days to do one splash page, then that somehow means better.
You mean
instead
today?
Today.
Yeah.
And I would say in the last 10 to 20 years.
Yeah.
And instead of the storytelling being the most important aspect or you know, efficiency of line and clarity being more important, it's just busy. So yeah. You know, I don't know what that means exactly as far as it turning into the movie, but it was something that I'm noticing.
That's interesting. That's an interesting take on that. What about the big line that kind of flipped everyone out, which is, you know, the whole Clark and the bus thing and his dad saying, you know, where he says to his dad, should I have just let them die or something, and his Pa Kent says something like, maybe. How did that hit you guys?
It was just that, angsty.
Yeah, that didn't really sound like the Pa Kent that, you know, I'm familiar with. So, you know, obviously they're going with a different take that in that direction.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just, you know, I always thought that was one of the, one of the things that Smallville got right, you know, is that the Kents were the ones who raised him, you know, to be a good human.
Yeah, but they also were the ones hiding him in the closet too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they were the ones saying, you know, you can't go out and show your powers, and which is fine. I actually think that's an edit in the trailer. If you look at the trailer, I think that that little bit is part of a larger conversation that they're having. I don't think that you know, and I think that that's a bit of a little bit of like hoodwinking the fans. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Paul could be right. I mean, if that, you know, that could be, like you say, it could be part of a bigger conversation where they consider it. They're trying to figure out what to how he's supposed to live with this. And,
I mean, all the lines of dialogue in there are definitely removed from any sort of context.
Sure.
You know, like even the mother's little speech to him, where she's talking about focusing on his. On his voice. I mean, to me, it sounds like she's sort of, in a way, talking him through the superpower of, you know, the super hearing in a way, and getting him to learn how to focus on one person at a time. You know, the dialogue is, I think, really well written. It sounds really good. It sounds better than I sort of expected it to sound. It just doesn't necessarily, you know, sound like the characters that I sort of expected them to be, so maybe that'll be a pleasant surprise.
Yeah,
the casting does look good too. I mean, Kevin Costner's there.
Yeah, I thought he was a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, he was the postman as well. but I kind of like him, you know. I think it's a good choice. I mean, I've had my fun at making fun of him in the past, but it's a nice choice.
Yeah, he's a good choice.
And if we can get him to sing the closing song to the movie, then, you know, then that will be even better.
Oh, what does he sing on?
What?
He sang the closing song to The Postman. It was a duet with Amy Grant.
Oh, my.
Get out of here. I don't remember that.
I did not make it that far because I fell asleep on the thing. And I would always rewind like the same part in the beginning when he would show up and be like, "I'm a postman." You know, like
as I remember it, the movie closed with him, you know, with this giant statue dedicated to him, while the song that he was singing also came up, and it was.
Is that where Eastwood? Is that where Clint Eastwood got it for what's it called? Gran Torino.
I have no idea.
Eastwood did not sing in Gran Torino.
Yes, he did. He sang the final song, the piano song.
Shut up! I gotta watch that again.
I swear to God, dude. You think he's like Costner did it? I could do it too.
All right. Let's move on from Superman and what we're really here for.
What about Pacific Rim, though? Really quick. Geez. What about the trailer?
Pacific Rim.
That
beautiful.
Looks amazing.
I love it.
Giant robots giant monsters in Japan. That looks awesome.
All right, there is a gripe, guys. I got to throw it out there. And it's I love Guillermo del Toro's visuals, but I've had issues like with the pacing of his movies for some reason. And has anyone ever kind of felt that way, or is it just me? The pacing?
I think
it's
just
Hellboy,
you.
Hellboy and Pan's Labyrinth?
I don't remember there being a slow point.
No, yeah. Hellboy's not my favorite of his movies, that's for sure.
Okay.
No, but, you know, and then there's definitely, like, in a way, two Guillermo del Toro kind of movies. Like, they're sort of his, like, art house horror movies, like Pan's Labyrinth, you know, or Devil's Backbone, which are definitely slower moving, you know, more character pieces. And then there's, like, you know, the Hellboy things and the sort of big Hollywood Big Bang kind of things, you know.
Yeah,
I love Pan's Labyrinth. I thought that was great.
Oh yeah, he's an amazing director.
Yeah,
and I think he's definitely going, you know, with, you know, Hollywood Big Bang on this, and it looks fantastic. I mean, it's the giant robot movie that I've always wanted.
Yeah,
in the trailer anyway.
My only concern is that I hope it doesn't become like the Transformers, where you can't see the fights all that well. You know
what
I mean?
Really?
Yeah. Any of them.
Transformers.
Or the first one's the only one I saw.
The Transformers movies, to me, reminded me of someone, like, just taking a bunch of, like, tin cans and smashing them up and throwing them at the camera randomly.
That's awesome. No, Pacific Rim looks like it's going to be awesome. First in line. first in line for that.
Cool. Okay, cool. I just had to get that out.
No, no.
I've been geeking out on that trailer all week.
Trailer looks awesome. Awesome. So, okay, well, let's talk about our holiday picks, because the holidays are here, and people are buying presents for one another, and this is going up, like, a couple of days, several days before Christmas Eve, so if you have waited too long to get your geek friend their geek presents for Christmas, then we've got some suggestions. So who wants to get started? Let's get started on that. Our holiday picks. Anyone?
I got my list. I'll go first.
Go for it. You all go right. First.
I picked three things.
Oh, yes. What's that?
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, let's do recommendations first, and then let's save like what we want for last. How's that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm already done. I mean, Hanukkah ended last night, so these are just... I picked out three things that I just thought are really cool things that people should have.
All right.
And I started with a camera, the Canon 5D Mark III.
Okay.
And that's for anybody who likes to take still shots and movies.
And why do you like that?
It's just awesome. It's an awesome camera. And if I had my choice, I'd go out and get one right now for like whatever, $2,500, $3,000.
Oh, okay. So you're starting out at the high end of the spectrum.
I think I am here, actually. I am starting at the high end. It's just a nice camera, and it's always good to have a nice camera.
Uh-huh.
Although, iPhone comes close. Just kidding. Just kidding.
FYI, there is a daily deal via an eBay seller right now. You can get a 5D Mark III for $25.99.
There we go. $2,500. Does it come
giving
with a
it away.
That is body only.
Oh, body only.
Nice, right. Corey. They're giving it away.
Giving it away.
Okay. All right, my wait. Second thing. What?
No, let's go on to somebody else. You picked first one. Who wants to go next?
Two more.
Yes, I know. We'll do two more. You can get your chance.
Dude.
I'll go second.
Okay,
Corey. I have an expensive one as well, so I'll start with Building Stories by with that guy. Building Stories by Chris Ware.
Oh, that's almost like sold out, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it? I've got my copy. Good luck, everybody else.
I'd heard that like maybe on Bleeding Cool or something that Amazon was like almost sold out of them.
Could be right. You could be right. Well, wow. Then go to your local comic book store and get a copy that way.
And what was it called again? By Chris Ware.
Building Stories.
Uh huh.
It's $100. And you buy it, it feels like a board game, like the size of it, the dimension of it.
Uh-huh.
And you open up the box, and there's all these different, there's like a little graphic novel, there's a book, there's a pamphlet, there's a mini comic, there's like a board puzzle that you unfold that's a little story, there's little sides, comic strips on the sides of the boxes. There's like, I think 30 or something individual pieces that all have their own stories. There's a little like you remember those golden books, something that looks like that. So it's just like a treasure trove of stories, and when you read them all, you can start at any of them. You enter it, you know, you pick up whatever one that grabs you, and they all kind of interweave through each other, and you kind of it builds a grander narrative, you know, as they sort of interweave with each other.
So is this like a big box or something, or is it
a
book?
It's a box. Yeah, it's a box made up of multiple books.
Oh. What's the price tag on this thing?
It's $100.
So is it less depressing than Chris Ware's other stuff, or?
It's typical Chris Ware. There's some. I find him funny. I don't really get the depressing thing. I mean, I can see it, and I see that people say that a lot, but I just find him very deadpan hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a brilliant illustrator and designer. I've never been able to get into his stuff, but it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I mean, just the structure, and to me, I think this is like the most bold example of print. You know, everything's going digital, but here he puts out something that can only really exist. You can only really get the joy of it in print in its physical form. Wow. Because it's like, I mean, you just open it. It's like you found a family box of heirlooms, you know, and you're just going through and you're flipping through and you're trying to decide what to read first. And it feels like you found these lost stories.
What's the?
I just want to see it. I'm coming to your house, Corey, and I just want to look at it. I just want to see it. All right, Paul, what's your pick?
My first pick is the Tarantino 20, written as XX, Blu-ray box set.
Oh, yeah.
It's got Pulp Fiction, Inglourious Basterds, Reservoir Dogs, both volumes of Kill Bill, Jackie Brown, Death Proof, and True Romance.
Wow.
And it comes in a beautiful looking set with him aiming a Bolex camera like a gun at you, and it's available for the low price of $80 on Amazon.
It's a good price.
I own most of these movies, so I probably wouldn't get it for myself, but for someone who maybe only has them on DVD and doesn't have them on Blu-ray, this is a great gift, because it's just, you know, it's almost everything that he's been involved with. I think only Natural Born Killers is the only thing that screenplay wise that isn't represented there. And what can I say about them? They're just all fantastic movies.
Yeah. I mean, oh, that's a good choice. I'd heard about that. That sounds super awesome. I'm gonna have to pick that up, because I don't really have his movies on Blu-ray, so I may have to check that out. Oh, that's cool.
Worth it. I mean, you know, on the I've just been rewatching some of his things. You know, the Kill Bill movies, are just incredibly well made action movies.
Yeah.
And Death Proof is another great, fun action movie. But you just the amount of quality that's in here is just stunning.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that sounds great. All right. Well, so then I will move on to mine. And since we're starting with our most expensive ones, and this is something that I actually want, and I told my wife not to get me because it's very expensive, although right before Thanksgiving there was a really good price on it. It's Bond 50, the complete 22 film collection on Blu-ray.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tasty.
I have seen some of the old Bond stuff on Blu-ray, and I can tell you right now that this has got to be the ones that have already been released on Blu-ray have to be in this set, obviously. So the quality of the picture is just amazing. I mean, it's probably the best you're ever going to see. Bond on Blu-ray is just stunning. I remember, I think Dr. No was one of the first things I rented on Blu-ray when I first got my Blu-ray player, and I put it in and I was just sitting there stunned as to how amazing it looked. So obviously you've got your Turkey Bond movies in there, you know, View to a Kill or whatever, some of the bad, you know, really awful ones, but either way, just the visual presentation on them is worth watching them alone. So that's my big recommendation. And I told my wife not to buy it for me because it's like $276 right now.
Reverse psychology. Amazon. I like it.
Oh, no, it's not reverse psychology.
Well done.
No, because the price is going to drop at some point again. You know, so I was like, don't buy that for me.
But, so Christmas morning, you're going to go and under the tree, there's going to be a box. And you're going to open it. It's going to be not the Bond Blu-ray set. And you'll be, oh, you didn't get it for me. And you'll hug.
I'll throw a hissy fit. I'll be like, I didn't get the Bond. I'll start kicking stuff, you know, knocking it, strangling the tree, shaking the ornaments off of it. I'll be like,
I got you the Bourne movies. It's not the same.
I know. That's awesome. Oh, man. All right, Ian, what's your second choice?
All right, I'm back. I will do, I highly recommend, and I already have these, but I'm just putting it out there because I hope someone out there is as lucky as I am and gets Walking Dead Compendiums 1 and 2.
Oh.
If you start with 1, that's fine. Obviously, if you start with 2, I hope that you have what came before then. You know, but these are just great books, and that's how I got started with Walking Dead. Now I'm actually down to the trades, and I'll probably stay around with the trades for as long as I possibly can. But they're just, they cover the entire thing. I mean, they're reprints, obviously, but, you know, huge, huge amount of issues. And it's a great way, if you're into the TV show and you want to see how it was done in the comics, or vice versa, if you're into the comic and you, I guess, are going to watch the TV show or do, I mean, I do both at the same time, and these are just the best books to have. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did. I got the Compendium 1, and I've been on trades ever since.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that world now, too, with the trades, and it's good.
Trades Compendium good. 1 is going for $33 on Amazon. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's and 2 was great. I got 2 for, I don't know, like, it was Amazon, so it was like a big discount when it first came out.
Yeah, 2 is at $35 on Amazon. Yeah. So really, $60 gets you just about every issue of Walking Dead.
Exactly.
That's like 100 issues, right, I think?
Yeah. That's amazing.
Just, no, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's great. It's fantastic, and I'm glad they did it. And they're smart.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So that's it.
Cool. Corey, what's your next pick?
My second one, so I did print on my first one, and so the second one I'll do digital. Comixology.com is doing a gifting 12 days of gifting sort of promotion that they're doing that I'm enjoying, where they will give a digital comic away for free, and you can set it up so that you can send it to somebody, you can gift it. So every you know, it's only available for the one day. Uh-huh. In fact, I haven't gone today to see what they are, but it was Green Lantern number 1 and the Avengers versus X-Men, and it was Tales Designed to Thrizzle, and so they've got a variety of stuff every day, one comic a day. And so I think that might be a good way if you want to surprise somebody with a digital comic that maybe they haven't tried doing that platform yet.
Oh, that's cool. That sounds great. That sounds like a good deal. And what are the prices range? I mean, what?
Well, the gifting ones, they're free.
Oh, they're free?
Yeah, each day it's a free comic for just the 24 hours. But then after that, you know, they go back to the normal price, which is whatever they happen to be, from 99 cents to $2 or $3.99.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's great. Yeah, for anyone who wants to try digital comics on their tablet, that sounds like a good deal.
So if you just go to comixology.com, and there's that top banner, it says 12 days of gifting, and you just click on that, and they'll show you what the comic of the day is.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's great. I'm going to have to try and check that out. Cool. Well, what about you, Paul? What's your second choice?
My second choice are the line of Star Wars hoodies by Mark Echo. I've seen them on Amazon. They're on eBay. They have the most popular one, of course, is the Boba Fett, because, you know, everyone wants to be Boba Fett. But my favorite one is the reversible jacket that, on the outside of it, it's the rebel fighter coat, and if you reverse it on the inside, it's like they wore on Hoth, and then if you reverse it on the inside, it looks like Chewbacca. It's got the little bandolier over it, and it's furry and everything, and it's really hilarious. And
these are pretty funny. I'm looking at them.
They look warm and toasty too.
They do look warm and toasty,
which is I'm a fan of. So the Mark Echo Star Wars hoodies are the or jackets. I see them, you know, they're sort of advertised as both, but I think that those would make a great gift for someone who loves their Star Wars but wants to be warm too.
Wow, they look neat. I mean, I'm looking at the R2-D2 one and Darth Vader.
Yeah, and cool. The fact that the hoods you know, actually zip up into the helmet of whatever, you know, character you're wearing, for the most part, you know, those are pretty neat.
Yeah, there's a pic of the R2-D2 one, and he's got the hood zipped up, and it's R2-D2's. That's That's great. That's hysterical. Oh, wow. Great for the Star Wars nerd. Fantastic. Those are neat.
I saw a picture of somebody on Facebook wearing the Chewbacca one. And, that was hilarious.
They look great. Chewbacca
the
does look really
one is like, you know, it's a cheap Stormtrooper outfit, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man. The Chewbacca one does look very warm. It looks very fuzzy and very warm. Cool. All right. So my next choice is, I love these books, and I think they're awesome. I'm actually writing a review for one of them. Hopefully it'll be up on Monday for our site. But I reviewed the first book for Ain't It Cool a long time ago, and it's these Flash Gordon collections from Titan Books. They're doing like the complete Flash Gordon Sunday strips, and they are amazing. I've got the first two, On the Planet Mongo and The Tyrant of Mongo. And this is some of the best comic book reading I've come across in a long time, especially like space opera. I'd never really been exposed to Alex Raymond before. I knew that Alex Ross was like a big, big fan of him, but I'd never really seen any of his work. And once I picked up that first hardcover book, On the Planet Mongo, I was just blown away. I was like, wow, okay, this is why this guy's a big deal. Like, I get it now. And they are these, right now, they've come out with two. It looks like two more are on the way next year. But they are these gorgeous, beautiful, like, decent-sized, hardcover-bound volumes. And I said it before in my review for Ain't It Cool, and I'll say it now, that if you were to give this to a kid, like an 8, 9, 10-year-old, they would blow his mind. He would just love them, because it's just full of, like, adventure and, like, you know, daring do, and there's, like, crazy, like, lion men and winged creature things, and there's action and fighting. Like, if somebody had given me this when I was a kid, I would have crapped myself. Like, I just would have just lost my mind. Like, because, and they're so good, and it's just illustration wise like, the brushwork is just, especially like in volume two, you get to the point where he's starting to do use real life models a lot more. But the brushwork, so the characters are a little stiffer than they used to be, but the brushwork is just gorgeous. The illustration is just gorgeous. So I can't recommend these enough. I mean, if you've got a kid and you want them to get into comics, and you're not worried about maybe spending a little more than what you usually would, like on a nice present for them, you know, they're pretty decent. They're pretty decently priced on Amazon. Right now, the first book, well, it looks like they're sold out on Amazon of the first one, but the second book releases on December 18th, and it's right now it's priced at $22. So that's not a bad deal at all for this. So that's my second recommendation, and I'm very enthusiastic about them.
Awesome.
Yeah, check them out. So Ian, what's your next pick? Third pick.
All right, I saved my favorite for last.
All right.
And I have not played video games in a long, long time, but my favorite video game is Street Fighter II.
Okay.
And not too long ago, Capcom, the maker of Street Fighter II, released something called Street Fighter 25th Anniversary Collector Set. This is for Xbox 360 or PlayStation 2. It's only $103.99 right now.
Wow.
I do not have a video game system, but have gotten very close to purchasing it. Because my fanboy friends, this thing comes with just ridiculous stuff. Let me tell you the product features, okay? I'm gonna be totally mark out for this thing. So it's basically got all the Street Fighter iterations in it. The games. So I'm looking at this thing now. It has a light up Ryu statue. Okay, and it's Ryu or Ryu doing his super uppercut, and like he's mounted on like a fireball or something, and it comes with a statue. And then there's a Blu-ray video set. It's a two-disc set that comes with a documentary that highlights the profound influence the franchise has had on fans.
Wow.
Yes. Then it has a soundtrack, 11 discs worth of Street Fighter music.
Are you serious?
Dude, I'm reading this discs? Right now.
Wow.
That alone, to me, would cover it. I mean, this is like 25 years of Street Fighter music in 11 discs. Two of the discs include remixes and fan-created music.
Hold on, hold on. Let me get this straight.
I'm not even done yet.
Really?
Yeah. It has an art book, a 64-page art book that pays tribute to Street Fighter fans from all over the world and includes fan pieces submitted by professional and aspiring artists alike. And I think from the picture, it actually comes with a black belt, like a little black belt. I don't know if you could put it on or what, but it also has like a collector's case. I mean, this is ridiculous.
So it's the games and the music,
yeah,
and music. The statue and the little black belt.
And a documentary.
Like around $100?
$100. It's $103.99 right now for Xbox. I've considered buying an Xbox. The problem is if I get this, I mean, I'll never do this podcast again.
We'll never see you again.
No, wife's already, you know, she's already kind of wagged the finger, and I'm like, all right, I'm trying to freaking just hold back, you know. But it just, I mean, what a deal, man. I mean,
that's a huge deal.
It's crazy. It's crazy. So yeah, that was my one for last, and wow.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's all I can say. Yeah.
Can't beat that, Corey. What's your third pick?
I give up. I mean, there's nothing after that.
I know you can't beat it.
I had one originally, and then as you were talking about the Alex Raymond stuff, I thought of another one. So I think I'm going to do that one, and then if we have a fourth go around, I have one. So I'm going to recommend the Fantagraphics collections of Carl Barks' Donald Duck.
Oh.
Nice. I just read the first collection, and I need to get the second one. And I think there's only two. I think there might be a third about to come out. And I've never read Carl Barks. I've heard he's you know, again, he's supposed to be this huge influence and amazing cartoonist. And having just finished the first book, I agree. I mean, he is totally converted. He is just fantastic cartooning. These stories were done in the 40s. And I don't know if you've ever read comic books from the 40s, you know, like DC Comics or something like that.
Sure.
But they're kind of a slog to read through.
some of those,
you know, the way they wrote, you know, it was very, you know, it's almost like they were writing the script for a radio play. Like they just, the characters were explaining what was happening in the panel.
Yeah.
And,
right.
You know, it wasn't, you know, they just weren't writing for, it was just, some of it's really tough. But the way Carl Barks wrote, I mean, he had faith in his own cartooning for good reason, because it's magnificent. And so his characters actually responded to what was going on instead of just describing it, you know, or they added information that couldn't be seen visually, like, you know, maybe there's like a smell or something like that. And the characters are just, it's just funny. It's inventive, so creative. There's one story, the lead story of the first book is about these square eggs that they discover. And they have to go, you know, like this world, you know, world hopping sort of thing. They go to this remote area, and they got to climb these mountains, and they run into these tribes, and they're, you know, there's just all these ideas thrown into this 32 pages. It could have been the whole length of the whole book, but in 32 pages, he packs in this story that's just endlessly creative and hilarious.
Oh, wow!
Just fun, just so fun.
I have to pick those up for Talon.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's just a total treat.
Oh, that's cool. So how big is it? Like, is it a giant, like...
It's a hardcover. Yeah. I don't know how many pages it is. Because there's, like, supplemental material in the back. So there's, like, these essays that, you know, like, you know, your daughter would just skip or whatever. But
yeah.
So that adds the page count. But, I mean, it's got to be, I don't know, 200, 300 pages or something like that.
Oh, wow.
But the first story is like 32 pages. There's another story or two, and then there's shorter stories, and there's one pagers that are just, you know, quick gag kind of things. And so it's just really fun.
Oh, I've always been curious about that, so I may have to pick some of those up. that book.
I remember reading some of the reprints that they had done a few years ago. I think I probably read them when I was, I don't know, in my teens, and they were really easy to read. As a matter of fact, I don't remember them actually feeling like reprints. You know what I mean?
Right.
They just felt like something that were. They really do feel timeless, you know. I mean, yeah. they're stories that work just as well today as they did years and years ago.
Oh, that's great! And Fantagraphics. All right, check.
Yeah, I was a little worried that it would feel dated and just that, and like, what can you do with these Disney characters that are stories that could actually like hold your interest for more than two stories?
Sure.
The way he builds this world around them, and he sort of. Will take the characters and cast them into different roles, sort of, but they're still their characters. And so the way he plays with the characters, it's just so fun.
Oh, that's cool. That sounds great. And great for kids, I'm imagining.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, cool. All right, Paul, so what's your third choice?
You know, I'm currently looking to see if my third choice is available anywhere, because... What I love is it's a poster for the recent reissue of They Live.
Oh yeah,
by John
Blu-ray.
Carpenter. Yeah,
yeah,
the Blu-ray poster. It's done by an artist who I really love, named Tom Hodges. He goes by The Dude Designs on thedudedesigns.com. He did this. Amazing poster for They Live. He's also done posters for Super, The Innkeepers, Hobo with a Shotgun is probably his most famous one.
Awesome
he's
movie.
He's also done posters for a couple of friends of mine's movie, one called The Weather Outside, another called Cell Count, and he does these amazing retro themed posters that, you know, just feel like they come from this sort of indeterminate era of like the 60s through the 80s, you know, like they just don't feel like any kind of movie poster that, you know, is out today. And I think his posters are fantastic. He's currently selling one on his website called Video Nasty, and it features Chucky and Jason and Michael Myers and Freddy Krueger, and they're all coming out of this sort of electric looking VCR. It's sort of an homage to you know, those old local video stores that used to have these fantastic posters and, you
that
know, crazy
awesome.
Artwork and stuff. And, you know, and those are currently $150, I think, for the Video Nasty posters. But like any poster by this guy, I would happily put on my wall. He's just an awesome artist. And every time I look at one of his posters, I just immediately think, I want to see that movie.
Yeah. There, I'm looking at the Video Nasty thing now, and it looks awesome. I mean, his posters definitely have that sort of 80s feel to them. That 80s horror movie feel, like old school, when they used to paint stuff and not just
exactly.
use Photoshop.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. That is some nice stuff. And that They Live Blu-ray, that cover is just fantastic.
He did another poster for, I think, the reissue of Rabid, David Cronenberg's
really?
Rabid, that is just looks, I mean, again, it's another fantastic, you know, the guy really does understand design, and the things just sort of jump. They're so different from a standard movie poster that, like, that they really do become sort of artwork, you know.
Yeah.
He treats a DVD box like it's a VCR box, and if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're awesome. I've seen them and they're beautiful. You're absolutely 100% right. And for me they just evoke the 80s, you know, that era where there was some artistic integrity to movie posters, whereas now it's just not as impressive. I don't think it's an impressive as an impressive art form as it used to be. So oh wow, that's cool. So my third choice is it just came out on DVD this year in the States, but it's on season 4 now in the UK, and it's this series called Misfits, and they finally came out with season one in the U.S. And you can see the episodes on Hulu apparently for free. I've seen a bunch of them, but I actually bought UK DVDs back in the day from Amazon.com UK, and because I have a region-free DVD player. But this series is called the Misfits, and it's about a bunch of juvenile delinquents who get superpowers in the UK. And the basic setup is that there's this weird electrical storm when they're doing community service in their orange jumpsuits, and they all get superpowers. And they don't become superheroes, let's just put it that way. It's a very raunchy, sort of very sort of wrong TV series, but it's sort of like what Heroes would have been if it had been on HBO, sort of thing. You know what I mean? And it's brilliant, and I love it. And season one is the only one that's come out in the U.S. so far, and it's only $20 on Amazon. And I'm telling you that if you're a superhero fan, or if you know a superhero fan who likes like movies like Superbad, or you know, just like anything that's kind of raunchy and funny.
Is it comedy, but, Christian?
Yeah, it is. There's a comedy element to it. Like,
yes.
Yeah. But it's also superhero stuff. But not really. It's more superpower stuff, you know? They don't solve crimes. They're actually really shitty people. You know what I mean? But they get superpowers, and it's like what they do with them, and how they basically don't really do much of anything with them, you know, except, you know, screw things up. So it's pretty brilliant, and it is absolutely one of my favorite superhero series of all time. And like I said, you can watch them on Hulu. You can get... What's that?
I think I saw the first episode on YouTube or something years ago, and I remember liking it.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, you could see them all on Hulu for free, apparently. Yeah. And season four I've been watching, and season four has kind of like been a misstep, and I've heard the ratings dropped, but let me tell you, season one is just brilliant, and so is season two. Season three is really good. They replace one of the lead characters, but it's just, it really is just a superhero show with like a really good sense of humor. It's not for the faint of heart, because there is some raunchy stuff in there. But honestly, the acting's great, writing's great. I love it. So I can't recommend it enough. And if you have not picked up something for a superhero nerd, this would probably be a really good choice. So
yeah, it reminds me a lot of sort of Garth Ennis's stuff without sort of the sort of mean stuff going on. You
yeah,
know? It's got that sort of anarchic little like sort of crazy, you know. Yeah, I also enjoyed that series, and you know, it's funny. It manages to have a bit of a heart sometimes. It really was a surprise for me. You told me about it a couple of years ago, and it's a very good show.
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those things that, well, you guys know me. It's like when I get passionate about things, this is like one of the things, like, oh, what do you think about Misfits? And I'm like, oh my God, it's so great, I love it. Like that sort of thing. Like, I love Misfits. I think it's just fantastic. And no other American like superpowers show has come close to it, in my opinion. That's how much I love it. I think it's just brilliant. So, and I wish there were more of it. Apparently they're planning a movie too. So anyway, that's three choices. Does anyone have like a last choice to like round things out, or are we pretty much topping it off at three?
Well, I had one more that it'll be quick.
Do it.
And I just want to get some, I just want to be acknowledged for having the restraint to not make a Gem and the Holograms reference during your entire Misfits.
Gem is truly outrageous. Truly,
their
truly
songs
truly
are better. So my fourth thing is getting a Charlie Brown Christmas tree replica that they now sell.
What?
These things.
No, yes. Way.
Yes. Yes. Way. They. Wow. There's actually a few. It looks like a few companies make them, but there's one that has like a Linus blanket on the bottom, and it's got, you know, and it's on the little shaky stand, and that little one Christmas ball hanging off it. And so that I want to get. I do not have that, so if anybody wants to surprise me with that, I would not resist accepting that gift.
Oh, wow. Is it life-size, or is it...
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like a full-sized pathetic tree.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, what a great way to round it out, Corey. That's a terrific choice. Awesome. Well, cool. Well, I hope that everyone out there has had a happy holiday, or is having a happy holiday. Thanks for doing this, guys. I really appreciate it. This has been Part-Time Fanboy. Any last holiday wishes for anyone out there? Or you guys
happy
ready?
Holidays, everybody.
Yay. Happy holidays.
Everybody enjoy.
Yay. All right. Thanks. This has been Part-Time Fanboy. Bye now. Part-time fanboy.